B-Pod Studios.
Now, sports talk while you're on the clock. This is Zolak and Bertrand.
I'm going to slap you because you fake it.
On 98.5, the Sports Hub.
How do you stay so calm all the time, man? Does anything irritate you?
Nah. Losing does.
Does this bother you?
Does it bother you?
Yeah, I don't know. You're starting to bother me.
My favorite Gruden quarterback set with Marcus Mariota. Hey, does it bug you? How about this?
How do you stay so calm all the time, man? Does anything irritate you?
No.
I have losing soul.
Does this bother you?
Does it bother you?
Yeah, I don't know. You're starting to bother me.
I'm dead on the inside.
I don't like you sitting there staring at me not saying anything.
I don't like you being
me off.
I like you being all quiet.
How about this one? Hail.
There's a list. Ready? Here are the list of the free agent quarterbacks. Led by, we'll do it in order of their pay in 2019. Drew Brees and Tom Brady. Free agents. Maybe they can swap.
The old
switcheroo. Brady can go to New Orleans. We'll try Drew Brees on for size. You know, we'll do a switch. So Brees, Brady, Eli Manning.
That'd be fun.
No, it wouldn't.
That'd be fun.
What the hell would be fun about that?
Watching the world burn is fun, Beetle.
That
would be fun.
You know that Eli Manning to me would represent a bigger waste of time than Andy Dalton.
So that would be like...
That's what the hell are we doing here?
It's the reversal of so many things, having a Manning as the quarterback.
Yeah,
here.
You know what the problem is with Eli Manning? Is you have to win the games in the regular season to get to the playoff games that he excels in.
Yeah, maybe you can like, have Jed.
Hey, you got to win more than 50% of the time, dude.
Maybe you could have Jed Stidham start during the regular season, then go to the bullpen. Go to the bullpen for the playoffs.
It's a good one, Brian. So Eli, no. Philip Rivers. I don't hate that.
I don't hate it either.
But again, this goes back to my original point, which is, what are you going to pay Philip Rivers all that money for?
Right. That's
just
what
pay Tom
I'm
Brady, you idiots.
Right. If Brady goes elsewhere.
I'm just saying.
If Brady goes elsewhere, that accelerates at 13.5. Yeah. I think they're going to look at it. I think Stidham can handle it.
What's Teddy Bridgewater going to get? He's the next on the list.
16, maybe somewhere in that neighborhood.
Manageable. It's a manageable number.
I mean, like,
then you're. He made 7.25 last year.
You're still 30
you don't
at
hate
the position.
Philip Rivers?
No.
Oh, I can't stand the guy in real
life. I'm saying the idea of Philip Rivers.
Well, because Philip Rivers represents something better. I mean, Philip Rivers is a couple of years removed from being pretty damn good. He had and he didn't look horrible this year.
He was just here last year in the playoffs.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, divisional round.
He might have a couple of decent years left.
Right? We had them.
Pushing 40, never won.
But I'd be against it for the reason that why would you not pay that money to Brady? So that doesn't make any sense to me.
And Philip Rivers.
I hate Philip Rivers. I can't stand Philip Rivers.
He's not leaving his compound with his 19 kids.
No.
He could drive. He's
not realistic. Well, no, I mean, he might. I think there's a chance he goes to Tennessee. If they
interesting.
If they move on from Tannehill. Well, he's from Alabama. And so, like, that would be closer to home for him. The Colts are the other one because he has the relationship with Frank Reich and Nick Sirianni, their offensive coordinator. I have a hard time seeing him come here, but I do think that there's a possibility he moves on. If he moves on, I mean, again, like we said earlier in the show, what's really interesting about it is the Chargers are going to have to make a decision on franchising him between, like, February 20th and March 10th, right. Whatever it is. If they don't franchise him, that's a tell. That they are actually loading up for a run at Brady.
Let's continue here. Jameis Winston.
That would be...
awful. what word were you going to use?
From an entertainment perspective?
I don't care so much about the entertainment as I do winning.
Yeah.
And building toward what the Patriots are already and having to sort of go through a cycle where they build back up to that.
It would be entertaining.
Waste of time. Mariota, we've discussed.
Yep.
And then you get into the real dregs here.
Oh, things get fun now.
Chase Daniel. Case Keenum. Chad Henne.
Chase Daniel's a legend.
Drew
with the amount
Stanton.
Of money that dude's made for starting no games.
The Colt McCoys of the world. The AJ McCarrons.
Oh, Nate Sudfeld. You had his brother for a little while.
Nate Sudfeld.
His brother, remember the big tight end?
Josh McCown's retiring for real this time. He doesn't count. Mike Glennon. Favorite of Zoe's.
Don, what's his name?
AJ McCarron.
Don Flamingo.
I like kind of like AJ McCarron.
Hey, Blaine Gabbert's going to be available. Like, look at these names.
Geno.
Look at the guys who are going to be. Oh, my God.
Geno Smith.
All the backups.
Yep.
All the backups are in there. Oh, man.
Where's Geno at? He was out in Seattle, right?
Mm-hmm. He's in the Chargers.
Oh, I thought he was back up to Russell Wilson this year.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
Oh, was he Seattle?
Left the Chargers. Yeah.
Okay, he's with the Chargers.
Yeah, right. What a brutal list.
Chargers have Tyrod Taylor, right? Is he a free agent or is he signed again?
He is not on
that's
this list.
Decent stopgap guy. No.
Oh, Taysom Hill is also a free agent. He's a hidden gem.
Yep.
Yeah.
Make our callers happy. They can go with him.
How about this, guys? If say the Cowboys don't put the exclusive tag on Dak. Say they put the non-exclusive tag on him, which means you'd have to pay him, and you have to give up two first-rounders for him. Would you do it?
No.
Steep price for that.
Two first-rounders for him? No. I could see paying him, but I wouldn't give up two first-rounders for him.
I don't know. He can play and get a quarterback that you know can play for two first-rounders. You're going to spend a first-rounder at some point, you think. Even if
and that first-rounder, and it's a 23rd pick, so it's not a high first-rounder.
I might do it.
That's not a bad deal. I bet other teams would jump
Brady,
on this.
Brady go to Dallas.
Yeah.
I'd take Dak. Absolutely.
Dak's a good player. Really good year.
At least Brady keeps the silver helmet.
Like, imagine Dak with Patriots coaching.
With Belichick and Josh McDaniels. Yeah.
The both of them.
Yeah.
Taking up 20% of your cap.
But it's a quarterback.
Yeah, but he's young. He's a young quarterback.
It's a quarterback. It's okay for him too, Jim. He won't take less, but Brady will.
Well, Dak shouldn't take less. Dak's made nothing to this point.
He's made so much.
Dak made $600,000 this year.
Jeez. Yeah.
That's unbelievable.
The guy can play, so.
I know he can play, we've had this 20-year thing of the guy's going to take less to win championships.
Yeah, that's not realistic.
You're going to overpay a guy to come here.
Paying the market.
It's a way of, but Zoe, here's the thing. It's a way of cheating the system where you don't have to bottom out to get one.
Here's a real question for the Patriots. When you don't get the sweet deal on Brady anymore, are you still able to do what you do?
Right.
See,
but because he's like creative.
Because that guy's not coming along again.
What makes you actually really stop and think about that Dak deal is because of the list of guys we went through prior to it. Because there's not one that said, whoa, oh, that sounds good.
Well, yeah.
You just wrote up 12 names.
Because there aren't great quarterbacks that are just out there on the street. That's the whole idea of it. Like, you have to find a different way to do it.
That will help Dak's market.
Yeah, I mean, and there's the other thing, too, which is,
I know Dak can play. Okay, I'm not refuting.
Say Tua starts slipping because of his hip. Do you look at trading up? You know, Justin Herbert's a little bit of a project. If he were to slip, would you think about trading up? Do you take a flyer on a project?
Were out at that game with Herbert, right? You were out at the bowl game, weren't you?
No, I wasn't. But I'll see Herbert next week in Mobile. Okay. Yeah, but you've seen him. You've seen him. He's physically, he's got everything. He just needs a lot of development.
Yeah.
So there are, I think it's, again, I think it'd be smart. Like, the way we've gone through this before, how the Seahawks landed on Russell Wilson, right?
Sure.
The Seahawks just kept throwing darts, and eventually they hit one, right? Like, so that
they kept trying, which I give them credit for.
That's what you had. Like,
just keep trying.
Right. They brought Matt Hasselbeck back for a year. They brought in Tavares Jackson. They signed Matt Flynn. They traded for Charlie Whitehurst. And eventually they built this great team. Eventually they hit on Russell Wilson. Like, you have to keep taking shots at it.
And they were not afraid to do so. Not afraid to keep going after those shots and keep taking them. And it sucks while it's going on. And you're looking at Charlie Whitehurst, as you said, playing quarterback. And you're like, oh, I know there's no future here. But at least you were trying to see if a guy could play.
Well, see, be the guy with the right chest.
Yeah. He was the guy who looks like Jesus.
Yep.
even the Eagles. Like, the Eagles, they brought back Sam Bradford at $18 million per. They signed Chase Daniel, and then they wind up trading up twice for Carson Wentz. No one remembers any of the other stuff because they wound up getting Wentz.
Right. If we could quickly transition back to an earlier topic, we were talking about the ranking of the coaches in the playoffs.
Mm-hmm.
Got a great email here from Neil, regular, frequent emailer to the show. He says, good morning, guys. Wanted to point this out. Andy Reid's last 11 playoff games, 3 wins, 8 losses. 2 of the wins of the 8. Or against Bill O'Brien, who we saw over the weekend have a complete meltdown and prove that he should be fired. That's me. I just added that part, not Neil. He says Mike Vrabel, meanwhile, has two wins in the playoffs. They are against Bill Belichick and John Harbaugh. Here is the list of the Andy Reid games, his last 11 playoff games, which go back to 2008. A loss to Ken Whisenhunt, then a loss to Wade Phillips with the Cowboys, a loss to Mike McCarthy, a loss to Chuck Pagano, a win against Bill O'Brien, loss against Belichick, loss against Tomlin, loss against Mike Mularkey, a win against Frank Reich and the Colts, and then a loss against Bill Belichick before getting the win against Bill O'Brien.
And Frank Reich was in his first year in Indianapolis.
Yes.
And they were sort of the Cinderella.
11 playoff games for Andy Reid going back to 2008, three wins, two of which were against Bill O'Brien.
That's crazy.
That's why I put Vrabel and Shanahan ahead of Andy Reid. Mm-hmm. That is why.
And Kyle Shanahan looked pretty damn good in his first playoff game. And Mike Vrabel's looked pretty damn good in his first
game. Don't you half expect the Kansas City Chiefs to screw it up this weekend somehow?
Isn't there a very real scenario where Derrick Henry rushes for like 250 yards on that?
Yes, there is.
We'll
talk more about that game coming up with Bert, and we'll get back to your calls as well. 617-779-0985. We'll do that after the action update.
Now, a look at the numbers with the action update on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
This is Brent Musburger's Action Update for 98.5 The Sports Hub. Are you hiring? With Indeed, you can post a job in minutes, set up screener questions, then zero in on candidates in an online dashboard. At Indeed.com/hire.
It's more of a quirk than a trend to bet on. Celtics games have alternated going over and under the last seven times they've taken the court. If that pattern holds, tonight's home game against the Pistons would go over 218. As for sides, the Celtics are favored by 9.5. Boston College is a 12-point underdog tonight at Syracuse. In other games tonight, Holy Cross is catching 1 point hosting Army. Merrimack is a 1.5-point underdog at home against Bryant. UMass Lowell is laying 4 for its visit to Maine. For the latest odds all the time, visit VSiN.com. From Las Vegas, I'm Ron Flatter. This has been your Action Update on 98.5, The Sports Hub.
First, our introduction.
Zolak Bertrand.
Double whammy.
Zolak and Bertrand. Continues 98.5, The Sports Hub.
Zolak and Beetle will be in it. They will? Bet. Then I'll go on it down there. Just tweet at him that I'm going to go on.
Come on, shake your body, baby, do that conga. No, you can't control yourself any longer. Come on, shake your body, baby, do that conga. No, you can't control yourself any longer.
I don't know if that's a threat or a promise from Kyle Van Noy last night.
Or do we have a say in it? You know, tweet it then that I'm going to go on. Oh.
Maybe one a month.
Yep. Capella probably has something to say about that.
Did he take shots at us for being out there?
Here's
Christmas
what I would
week?
Say. Yeah, we take shots at
Beetle
too.
Will be in it. They will? Bet. Then I'll go on it down there.
He'll be on with us.
Yeah, tweet at them. Tell them I'm going on.
Why don't you tweet at us?
Bet.
Kyle.
Yeah.
Well, let's call it the revenge tour.
I talked to him about taking shots at us Christmas week, too.
No, we can't call the revenge tour?
All right, if you want to. I don't know how that's going to go over.
Yeah, why don't you do that with him?
What, talk about the revenge tour?
Yeah.
I absolutely will.
Oh.
Are you kidding me?
Oh, I know.
Why wouldn't we?
Yeah.
Are you going to interview him and not bring that up?
I'm going to ask him about Logan Ryan.
Of course you are.
Sure.
Yeah. Of course you are. That's what people want to hear. He doesn't run from it, though. I believe him. He's going to show up down there.
Of course he will.
And we're going to have him on.
Yeah.
Kyle, is it true that you weren't interested in tackling Derrick Henry? What was your interest level in tackling
Bad.
Him? Bad. Is he playing Fortnite?
He is.
Yeah.
Yeah. At least he does it in the offseason. You know? Like, the season ended. Now he plays his games.
He doesn't carry a TV with him?
No, I don't think he's carrying a 24-inch monitor around under his arm into the visiting locker rooms. No, I don't think that's happening.
All right, guys. I got to go.
Gordon Hayward.
Do you have her in the background yelling at him?
Honey, get off the game.
What's your name? Penelope, right?
Get off the game. Now. 617-779-0985. Let's go to Rob in West Roxbury.
Hey, Rob.
What's up, guys? First time call. I don't know. I don't think the Andy Dalton thing. You're looking for a replacement for Brady, which is clearly not going to be out there this year. So if you go in short term, Andy Dalton's been in the league for 9 years. Most of his stats, he's thrown more touchdowns and picks every year. He has a career rating of almost 90. He's done more than Carson Palmer did for the Bengals. On a losing franchise, pick him up for 10 or 12 million, stick him in there for a couple years and go from there and look for a replacement. But I don't think it's a complete thing you throw out the window. When you look at it, you got to look at his career stats. Not bad. And he's done this with the Bengals, you know?
Disagree strongly. I've watched Andy Dalton. He sucks. I've watched his games. And I would take Carson Palmer over Andy Dalton any day of the week. Zoe, your thoughts. Carson Palmer versus Andy Dalton.
I would take Carson Palmer.
Thank you. Bert?
Carson Palmer? Like,
which guy? No, in their
oh,
middle,
no question.
5 years
Palmer.
Into their career.
Yeah, no question.
Carson Palmer or Andy Dalton?
Carson Palmer was like,
that guy
Palmer
just tried to make
like
the case.
He was
he
next
just,
day Aikman
yeah.
to me.
He
just
he tried to make her, yeah, Aikman
next,
was the
next
top,
Aikman.
Yeah.
That
yeah.
caller just tried to make the case that he was better than Carson Palmer. You okay?
Yeah, that one hurt.
I mean, Carson Palmer was in a way worse situation in Cincinnati than Andy Dalton was.
Yeah.
Andy Dalton was on some like teams that were legitimately loaded.
If you want to look at Pro Football Reference to pick the next quarterback, go ahead. But you're not going to convince me of it. Andy Dalton, please. You're right. They're going to have to find the next guy if Brady leaves. They could actually do something that is constructive in finding the next guy by starting Jarrett Stidham and seeing if he can be the next guy. And you know what? If he is the next guy and he does have that ability, you will start winning sooner rather than later with Jarrett Stidham because he's in there and he's playing and he's gaining real experience and he's playing it live, facing it live as an NFL quarterback with coaching and real in-game situational football that he has to respond to and get better at. And that's of major value to the Patriots. Major value. Andy Dalton, you're spinning your wheels, wasting your time. Wasting everyone's time. Rich in Belmont with another former Bengal. Rich.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey.
I have a suggestion, which is kind of like a dumpster dive like you were talking earlier, but what about A.J. McCarron? He's a Saban guy. He's been in the season been around for a while. Why not give him a try?
Playing for Bill O'Brien now, too, so he knows your system.
Loved him coming out. I thought him coming out of Alabama.
Could A.J. McCarron qualify as the veteran in this?
Sure.
If you were looking to save money, yes. Because you have institutional knowledge on him from Saban, and he was playing for Bill O'Brien this year.
So how much is McCarron going to cost? A few million bucks?
A few million. What's he making this year? Look it up. I mean, I like whatever it is this year, probably be
like
similar.
Like six million? Like, you know, something like that? Backup money?
Unbelievable. I mean, that's...
Why is Jim shaking his head at us? Is that
because he's terrible at playing quarterback?
Jim,
I know
him.
He is. Oh yeah, he's not.
Oh yeah,
done well.
Give him $6 million. Yeah.
Well, six is not 20 or 25.
I don't care if he's a veteran. If he's not good, don't bring him around.
He's making $3 million.
He's making three. So let's say he makes five for $5 million.
Mm-hmm.
Jim, you're still going to need a backup quarterback, dude.
I don't want that guy.
Wow. So you're basing this on the idea that he's like going to be the
he's
next
terrible,
guy.
Yes.
I just bring him in as a body to compete with the rookie. There, he could be the cheap veteran. A cheap veteran is $5 million. That's what it costs. Like cheap guy body. Someone who's
why does it have to be a veteran?
Because that's the
manager.
How about a more talented rookie?
I don't disagree with that either. I'm open to that idea.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely, you got one for us.
Here's guys in the draft this year. I like
what's
yeah.
that?
I'd rather draft Tua.
I think I don't know if you're gonna have a shot at Tua though. I mean, like, it's going to be, it all depends.
All right, how about Jake Fromm? Jake Fromm, A.J. McCarron.
Jake Fromm is really interesting. Like Jake
Fromm's
Fromm,
a lot like
Jake Fromm.
I'd much rather that, though, over A.J. McCarron.
Jake Fromm is a name.
I'm with you.
I'll say this right now. I think I gave you guys Jarrett Stidham as a name to watch last year. Jake Fromm's a name I would just file away because he has so many qualities.
I'm not against that.
Like, he's played as a true freshman. He's played forever.
In big games, like.
He's a David Andrews type player.
Three SEC title games. He's played a national title game. He's tough.
Conference championship games.
Here's the other thing. very rare ability to handle volume. He's like ordinary physically, but like what everybody says about him, he can handle volume. And what people have told me about him is you can drop him in John Gruden's offense. You can drop him in Josh McDaniels' offense. He's one of the rare guys coming out of college that can do what you're asking him to do.
Okay, recent history. If you've got a couple of quarterbacks and neither one of them are world beaters, and let's say your guy that you think is going to be the guy of the future, maybe he's a couple of years in the league, something happens with him and you need to bring in the backup, and that backup is a veteran, recent history has shown us that that can work out pretty well for your team.
Mm-hmm.
If you've got Ryan Tannehill waiting to go, or you've got Nick Foles ready to go, someone you never thought you're really going to have to use, if you've got a pretty decent team, you can do a lot with those guys.
And
I don't know that you can say the same using recent history as your example going the other way.
There's something to that. What you're saying, there's absolutely something to that. Something I talked about this. I had Brady Quinn on my podcast this week, and we talked about like the whole idea of what you're talking about, right? And the one thing we discussed with that was consider the situation Ryan Tannehill's in versus what Marcus Mariota was coming into the season, right?
Mm-hmm.
Mariota going into a contract year with the team that drafted him second overall. It's not really working out. The weight of the world's on his shoulders. He goes out there. He knows his job's on the line right away, right? Like knows from week one, I got to play well or I'm screwed, right? Weight of the world is on Marcus Mariota's shoulders. What's the pressure on Ryan Tannehill coming in?
Nothing. Go out there and play.
In fact, Mariota is in the situation that Tannehill was in Miami, right? So Ryan Tannehill, just go out there and play.
Right.
And you know what? If it doesn't work, everybody thinks you suck anyway. So like everybody thinks you suck. So like you just go out there and you can go out and you can play free.
Good things happen.
But there is something to that, right?
Yeah.
Like the fact that like if you do get one of these guys who was a high draft pick somewhere else and maybe it didn't work out, he comes in here and maybe you find something because guys are drafted high for a reason, right?
Yes, and it's not your long-term solution, but good things happen to veteran quarterbacks placed in a position where they feel no pressure. Ryan Fitzpatrick, week 17, put him in. What's going to happen? Good things.
Yeah.
Doesn't mean anything for the Dolphins, but it means a hell of a lot. Meant a hell of a lot for the Eagles with Foles, and it means a lot right now to have a guy like Tannehill in there for Tennessee.
Yep.
To me, that makes more sense than having two young guys. We're gonna have the two young guys fight it out and decide who's better.
Well, maybe that's your backup. Maybe that's your veteran then. Your veteran is a former first round pick who's fallen out of favor, who might be a little boomer bust.
See, that's John Robinson learned from Foles. And I think that's what opened his eyes. Like, hey, we can get a guy, but we might need a veteran if our guy struggles.
Right.
And that's the guy they went out and got. And there was something else today. You look at what Robinson brokered that number one pick. They had the number one overall pick.
Yep.
Don't forget, they were 3-13, I think, when he took over down there.
They could have drafted Goff.
They traded it to the Rams. Rams took Goff, and he got
Conklin.
Conklin to tackle.
He traded back up to get Conklin.
They got Derrick Henry in that draft. All these picks he acquired for trading that number one overall pick to build sort of that offense they have.
Right. I mean, you look at it, it's like it's easy to look back at it and say, well, you know, they'd be better off at Wentz, and maybe they would, but they did wind up like sort of setting the idea of who they were going to be. You draft a right tackle with your first, with the eighth pick, right? And then the second round, you turn back around and you're drafting a freaking like Mack truck of a running back.
Everybody, it's the moment you've been waiting for.
Hot takes.
Where you can clearly see there's a gap and the tip digs in and then boom, it pops up.
Oh yeah. Zoe and Beetle.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
I've been fortunate enough to have the opportunity to play this game since I was in fourth grade, and I've been with the Panthers now for 8 years, and it's never the right time to step away, but now is the right time for me, and it's a tough decision. I've thought about it a lot, and I think now is the right chance for me to move on. And it makes me sad because I love playing this game. I've played it since I was a little kid, and it's my favorite thing in the world to do. And the memories I have from this place and this organization and playing on the field with these guys, they'll never go away. And I'm sitting right now in the linebacker room, and the amount of memories I've had from this room alone could fill a book. And these are the best times of playing. Obviously, on the field is awesome, but some of the best times of playing this game are behind the scenes in the locker rooms, in these meeting rooms, on the buses, traveling the games. you can't replicate that anywhere else, and that's why this is so hard to do.
Luke Kuechly is done playing football, announcing his retirement yesterday. He is retiring after, I believe, 8 years, correct?
Yep.
8 years in the league. And he is all done playing. Obviously still able to play at a high level, but at age 28, he's done. Mm-hmm. And you got to think that it has to do with concussions.
Yep. One pick in front of Stephon Gilmore, actually, in the 2012 draft.
Wow.
I think he's got... I think this is a good development for players for three different reasons, right? Number one, it means the players have information that, like, even people like Uzo, you didn't have this information.
We had no information.
Right. So, like,
you played with concussions.
Right. These guys have information and they understand what football is doing to them. It's awesome that they're able to, like, have that information and make, like, coherent decisions on what they want to do with the rest of their lives. Right.
You can make a coherent decision to walk away from $10 million, which he was going to make this year.
Right. So, number two, I think it speaks to guys making more money, so it's a little easier for them to walk away. Luke Kuechly's made a lot of money. I think guys
$63 million he's made.
Yep. So like guys are making more money now, so it's easier for them to walk away. And then number three, I just think guys are more aggressive about pursuing what they want to do after they're done playing, and you see it with active players like Ryan Clark and Brandon Marshall were on TV before their careers were over, and so I think guys are getting more aggressive about like, okay, like what am I going to do next? And so I think for those three reasons, you're seeing more guys doing this. And now the fourth reason it's happening is because the door is open, right? Patrick Willis and Calvin Johnson, I think, are really the two that open the door for great players to do this.
Andrew Luck.
Right. And now you see Andrew Luck doing it. You see Luke Kuechly doing it. You see Rob Gronkowski doing it. Like, now the door is open. And it's – and football is such a – like, guys are really bonded together and, like, all of that. Like, it's like – people who play football together are closer, I think, than in other sports. And so I think for a lot of years, there was this feeling that you were kind of like screwing other people if you walked away. And because of what Calvin Johnson did and because of what Patrick Willis did walking away at a younger age, it sort of normalized it a little bit. So there's less guilt, I think, for players when they do walk away.
You know, I think there's this automatic jump to this is bad for the game. Right, up this is bad.
I don't think it is.
Yeah, players that are, but the argument is,
I know.
You know, you're losing talent.
You're highlighting the problem
is shrinking, and you have fewer great players because what if you know Luke Kuechly is getting ready for the next season, or Rob Gronkowski is still playing, or when Patrick Willis retired, he kept playing. You'd have these better star players that are in the sport. What if these guys have better health long term?
Right,
down the road as a result of them not playing. Down the road, you can look and say...
You can't put a price on it.
Not only just for them individually, I'm saying from the NFL standpoint.
No, I know.
They can point to more veterans and say, yeah, our guys aren't you know, unable to walk or aren't, you know, vegetables. I know that's sort of a hyperbole statement. But, you know, these guys are in better shape long-term now because they did give it up. The league ends up looking better the healthier players are longer into their lives.
Right, and it shows that the league is addressing it. It shows that the sport's addressing it. And, I mean, look, like, with the amount of skeletons that the league has right now, right? Like, all the stuff that's... I mean, like, you watched the national championship game the other night, and it's impossible for me to look at Nolan Turner, who's a starting safety for Clemson. It's impossible for me to, like, think watch Nolan Turner play and not think of his dad. Think of what happened to his dad.
What was the date yesterday?
14th?
Oh, the 14th. Okay, so... if we put Rob Gronkowski and this entire group of these players, these type of players, there's Luke Kuechly telling the Carolina Panthers, you don't have to worry about $10 million on your salary cap next year because I'm not going to mess with potentially walking away from it. I am done.
Mm-hmm.
And you could go approach your offseason. You could get into free agency. You could go to the combine.
Do whatever you got to do.
It's just I'm still angry about the – just. And then Gronkowski had to, I think, piss some people off yesterday. I got a little torqued by it. He tweeted, oh, great career. So, when you coming back?
Yeah. So, what do you think that was? I think that was he's sick of being asked about it, maybe.
Like, he's sick of being asked about it, and he got past it. And, like, it's going to be like a running joke for him. Ha, ha, ha.
Right.
You're going to have to go through it. But
no. If Gronk did a video like that, he wouldn't have been asked about it the way he was.
Never. Right.
Yeah.
That was well done by Kuechly.
Extremely. Yeah. And you can feel
close the door.
You could feel the raw
emotion. It's a very good point.
Oh, you could feel the raw emotion.
and there was no hoopla around it. It was just like,
that's no guessing game.
Yeah.
He sat down, he recorded it, he made himself his, you know, his feelings on it.
Right.
Very clear. You know, it's a good job by him. I think he's just, he's a super smart guy. You know, I think that's a big part.
And he understands what, he understands the risk that continuing to play would pose. Right?
Yep. Yep. BC guy. Got to give it to him. Got to give it to BC on this one. Luke Kuechly. I don't know anyone that doesn't
hammer
on
BC.
Or off the field.
BC could turn out some defensive play. Like their front seven people that they turn out, D linemen, ends, and backers, the guys can play.
Mm-hmm.
Like they can, they could turn those guys out.
And I just
and running backs.
Yeah. He's a like, and I've been around.
D-line coach might struggle a little more now.
You guys are hosed at that position. Hosed at D-line coach coming up next season. You know what they say, Zoe? When you see a team give up the most points on defense in the history of college football in one season, you got to go hire that defensive coordinator. So, and that's what BC did. And I say congratulations to you guys.
BC took UMass's defensive coordinator, made him D-line coach.
Oh, I didn't know that. I was like, what the hell?
Isn't that what they say when that happens? When you give up the most points in the history of the sport, you say, woo, who's that coach? Well, we're going to get him.
You got to think, those kids are well-conditioned chasing after people. So
put that on the staff. Wow. They're going to be much improved in 2020.
Right.
All right, Bert, thanks for hanging out here today.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it,
pal.
We'll talk to you again soon.
See
Bert Breer of the MMQB. Wait, which game are you going to this weekend?
I'm going to San Francisco.
San Francisco.
Yeah.
Talk to his buddy Kyle Shanahan. We will be talking to another coach. That would be Brad Stevens of the Celtics. We'll do that next. Let's go to the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline here on Zolak and Bertrand, and welcome in the head coach of the Boston Celtics, Brad Stevens, joins us now. Hi, Coach.
Hey, guys.
How you doing, Coach?
I'm fine. How are you guys?
Well, it seems every time we talk to you, talk about one of your injured players. Any update on Jason Tatum? I know he's not going to play tonight, but tendonitis in the knee. How concerned are you, you know, with one of your stars?
Not concerned.
Okay,
same
good.
Picture. He's played in every game thus far, and like a lot of our guys, as the season accumulates, you have a little bit more of little things that add up and nagging things that add up. And we talked to Jason yesterday. He's because of, you know, we've had a bunch of other guys miss games throughout the course of this stretch, and he's played everyone with this in particular little bit of tendonitis. We thought it would be best to sit, but it's not a long-term thing. And you know, but I think we got to be smart as we're in this stretch. And, you know, again, we've had a bunch of other guys miss games due to injuries and sickness and eye infections and all kinds of stuff. So, he's played everyone. So it made sense to, if he's dealing with anything nagging, to give him one in the middle of this stretch.
You've got to assume that for all the injuries you've faced so far, that at some point this string of luck is going to break, right?
Oh yeah. I mean, I don't consider this bad luck. I think that it's part of it. You go through a season. It's the reason why depth is really important. And, you know, it's given a couple of our other guys a chance to step up and, you know, play. And, you know, Wanamaker's had a good year in that regard. Our rotating center spot has been solid. You know, we started the year thinking we might rotate three guys in a night with Rob out. You know, sometimes we go two now, sometimes we throw Grant in there, sometimes Vincone's in there. So it's been, I think it's provides opportunity for other guys, and, you know, hopefully we're at our healthiest, when our best is needed.
So I know that you said not serious for Tatum and you want to give him an opportunity to rest and get better. Is part of that the schedule this month with so many games that you have?
Yeah.
And how are you managing the month so far? Do you feel like it's the management of the schedule is going well?
Yeah, I mean, and again, I think, you know, Jalen missed a game right before we got a real dense part of our schedule. Kimba missed three games right at the start of this dense part of our schedule. You know, Gordon was out for a ton of time. Marcus Smart was out for eight or nine games in December. So we had a each of those guys, you know, the silver lining is that they weren't on their feet prior to this as much. And so we've tried to manage it appropriately. We may end up, you know, resting a guy or making sure that there's no other nagging injuries on anyone else as we go through it. This is our last back-to-back before the All-Star break, but it's an every other day schedule from January 3rd to February 13th. And so that is why, you know, we just have to be on top of anything small. We don't want to become big.
Coach, I see you commented, and without getting into detail on Alex Cora, and that's the big story in town, obviously, but just sucks for you guys because I know there's five big coaches in this town, and you all have an affinity for each other. How tough was that hearing that type of news on him?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I read the report just like her, or I guess I didn't read the whole report, but I saw what everybody else saw and read it, and you know, assumed it wasn't going to be an easy resolution. And you know, when you read something like that, there's probably going to be consequences. You never know how, you know, how long, you know, whether it's a possible suspension for Major League Baseball or if the Red Sox were going to make a move or not. But listen, you know, Alex is a friend. So it's hard to see from the standpoint of knowing that it's going to be hard on him, his family, the Red Sox, the organization. And the one thing I'd say about him, he's always treated me great, and he raises the energy level in the room. Like, he's got a great demeanor about him, a vibe about him. I'm sure, you know, he's disappointed in himself, and I'm sure he's disappointed in how everything has now went down. But at the end of the day, you know, I'm sure I'll also learn, and he's such a positive guy that, you know, I hope that it's a small blip on the radar for him. But my thoughts always go to, like, you know, when you're in the middle of this, it's about the family and, you know, your kids. And,
sure, you took your kid down to Chip
Blue. What
are you
going to do next? Yeah, we've been down there.
Yeah.
We've had, and Alex always took time out for Brady, you know, my 14-year-old. So, you know, we were big fans of his. And it was, you know, as the Red Sox said in their statement, as Alex said in his statement, it was sad.
I know you've talked to us before about the coaching fraternity here in Boston, and I know that Josh McDaniels is another one of your friends. Are you surprised that he did not land a head coaching job this cycle in the NFL this offseason?
I have no idea what his desires were. I haven't talked to him about it. I let it be during these times. He knows I'm available if need be, but, you know, Josh is obviously really talented and has done a great job. You know, should he want to ultimately pursue something and go after something, then, you know, obviously there's always great candidates out there. And you still have to be one of 30, but I don't think anybody here has any doubt how good he is. And I have no idea, like, how hard he pursued, how hard they pursued. I don't know. I haven't gotten into it with him.
I hope he sticks around and then replaces Bill. That's my hope.
He's really good.
Whenever Bill wants to be done, that we hope it's Josh.
Because you've told us before, it's his meetings, you said.
I hope he sticks around so I can go to the meetings.
Yeah.
Continue to be in the meetings. I mean, he's really good. And in those small meeting rooms, you know, the level of detail, I mean, so you know better than all of us, but the level of detail that they operate with on both sides of the ball over there is pretty incredible. And you know, but it's been fun to go over. I've watched Flores do his work, and Joe Judge and Josh, and, you know, all those coaches are awfully impressive.
And that Miami game's coming up, you know, and we've pestered you about tickets for that. So, I mean, I'm going to slide that in again. I hope your squad is back, like full health. And then, like, that's where you guys take off.
And Zoe's also recommending that you get everyone healthy before then.
Yeah.
Well, if it's I thought you were going out that night.
No, there's the media party.
The game.
We asked, hey, do you want to go to the media party or do you want to go to Celtic game? We all said, we're going to Celtic game.
Yeah, we'd like to go to Celtics game. I don't know if Zoe mentioned it. We don't have tickets yet.
We'll get them.
The media party starts before the Celtics game?
Yeah.
I'm not sure what time that thing starts.
Sounds like a blast.
It's a bunch of sloss. No, we've been to it last 7 years, and literally a bunch of sloss. And you know the beat reporters. Not that the NBA ones are like that. But the NFL beat guys, man. To see those guys standing in line at a buffet line, it's
4 p.m. pot stickers. It's a good time.
It's like a room full of like 50 B Robs, you know?
Yeah. Like, yeah, Brian, you have to be careful to be off the record all the time, though. Do you have to ask? Do you have to ask in a media party, am I on the record or off the record? Or is it just a normal conversation?
It's normal conversations, Coach, all the time.
Okay. Whenever you're talking to anybody in the media,
you're always on the record.
Yeah, just
that's
have
good a point.
Just have a full expectation of someone blabbing whatever it is you're about to say.
Yeah,
is what I would say. Yeah. That's probably the best approach to go into that. All right, Coach. Great talking to you again today.
All right, guys. Be well.
All right.
See you soon. See ya. That's Brad Stevens joining us on the Volkswagen Dealers Expert Hotline.
So two in a row for them.
We're that much closer to getting those tickets.
Yeah, 2 weeks in a row, he diverted the conversation away from
us. He does not want to give us the tickets. He wants nothing to do with us being there.
I shocked the hell of him when I'm standing there in warm-ups and I'm yelling, yeah, look who's here. Yeah, we've been out for 4 hours.
Who let these idiots in?
Yeah.
Marty's driving us all. Could have
He's driving. We're down to Cleveland for 4 hours.
You need Hardy driving you somewhere?
You need a ride after the game, Coach? He's just scared the hell out of him. Just like, oh, God.
The press conference is coming up from Fenway Park momentarily. There's 40-plus reporters in the room, so it's going to be a busy one. Ownership and Heim Bloom coming up from Fenway Park in just moments. That coming up after these headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.